healthcare one American at a time.
The National Hurricane Center got pretty upset because they feel like people assume that they can predict exactly what's going to happen when a hurricane looms over the U.S. You know where we're going with this one, don't you? Right at the top. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So how you doing? Especially on the East Coast, some of you might be a little waterlogged at this point. Sadly, it's about the flooding, and flooding in places that you don't normally expect to see it, like landlocked Vermont, just covered because too many of the rivers crested, and unfortunately, it ended up buckling houses and roads, and all kinds of disastrous things have happened in that state. And Vermont's not alone. In New Jersey, they had serious problems with flooding, too. Same thing. A lot of the rivers overflowed. It wasn't so much about the beach areas that they had to evacuate the shore and all of that. Certainly that was hit somewhat, but not the same as the places that were near the rivers. That seemed to be one of the big stories emerging in the wake of Tropical Storm Irene, because as you all know, it started off as one of the worst things that could possibly ever hit us. It might be a Cat 3, 4, or 5 even. Turns out it was a Category 1 hurricane in the end that turned into a tropical storm. But the people who lost loved ones, up to 40-some, are not thinking that this was a nothing situation. Irene will go down in the books as some terrible flooding and awful damage, with trees uprooted, power lines down, everything that you see, frankly, in the wake of a hurricane. So it wasn't an Andrew that they had in Miami back in 92 that made parts of Miami look like a ghost town, frankly, and look like there was nothing but debris for miles as far as you could see. So that wasn't what happened with Irene. But in other ways, it was just as devastating. And now it's going to be about restructuring and figuring things out and getting the infrastructure going again, because too many main arteries are partially wrecked as a result of the tropical storm. But certainly, when you clear out casinos in Atlantic City, and then it turns out really people could have stayed there, or you clear out Manhattan, which Mayor Bloomberg did, they could have not has easily they could have not have done that to Manhattan and it would have been fine. But is it better to be prepared for what you don't know but you think could happen based on calculations, or would it be better to just wait till the final hours and take a big fat roll of the dice? I'm going to say that nobody in charge is going to let that happen again since Katrina. After Katrina happened, all bets are off. So nobody in a political position who has the power to call off or on and cancel public transportation like Bloomberg did in a major city, our biggest city, nobody in that position is going to take a risk. There's absolutely no way. And I think that's why the National Hurricane Center, it has its back up against the wall, because some of the things that were predicted didn't happen. It didn't happen. So New York wasn't washed over like the day after tomorrow. Lady Liberty's head wasn't floating underneath the Hudson River somewhere. But there was just as many problems, certainly. Talk to the people at Cape Lookout, North Carolina. That was the big fat bullseye. That was the big one. All along North Carolina, they had some pretty big waves, and they had some shore erosion and massive damage, to be sure. So they knew the path. They knew where the storm was going. But every step along the way and all the progressions and how strong it would be, it did look like in the track that it made after it had gone to the Bahamas that this thing was going to be a major mama, that Irene was going to do much more devastation in the sense of epic proportions than it actually did. And it started 5 days before it even hit the East Coast. Now, I mean, I will say this, as somebody with family members in the East, I was very concerned, like many of you were, as to what was going to happen. And should my mother, for one, be evacuated from New Jersey the way that things were being predicted. But I don't think that there's any way you can 100% get an accurate forecast. I don't think you can. Maybe better than they used to get, but you're never, ever, I don't think anybody is going to be able to ever predict anything to do with Mother Nature. Having said that, when you look at what was forecast in a bigger sense, Irene was nothing of what was discussed, right? It got weaker, got a little bit weaker. However, the flooding was definitely there. But luckily, it wasn't a Cat 4, for goodness sake. I do not think the people in New York City who weren't happy that they couldn't get into the city, that you cannot tell me that they are not happy that it wasn't a Cat 2 or 3 or 4 or any of that kind of stuff, because it would have been so much worse. I mean, really. You think of people who get tired of those hurricane warnings. You think of the people that live in Florida. And a lot of times they'll ignore them because they think that they can ride the storm out because they're tired of hearing the warnings and the watches. And it's just when they do that, that it turns in the wrong direction and they can't get out. So I think with a city as big as New York, they're probably smart to do that. So you didn't have any kind of a problem because you still had flooding. You had lots of other problems in the city. Mark in New York called us. He told us about the commute was going to be ugly on Monday, and it was for so many people. So there were some accurate things that came out of that. I got an interesting note from one of our great listeners, Shelley, in Michigan, and she said something that really stuck with me. She said, I wanted to say one more thing. Here's the deal. With the lousy credit and fiscal responsibility of Congress, they couldn't qualify for a mortgage on the U.S. Capitol. Plus, the money they print isn't worth the paper it's written on. Her solution, a white elephant sale. And that's how bad it's gotten. Really, it is like a white elephant sale, because what are you going to do now with FEMA practically out of money? All of those states declaring a state of emergency before the storm even hit, and now having to deal with the aftermath. Early estimates put it at $7 to $10 billion. So now, when the Congress comes back into session, they're going to be wrestling on C-SPAN, so you can watch all the heavy drama, over where are they going to move this money around. We're already talking about cuts and the problems and the deficit and the debt ceiling that had to be lifted. So now add all of this on top of that, because you already had all the tornadoes, terrible tornado damage that is still being dealt with and sorted out in the Midwest, and flooding as well. So now you throw more on top of that. Oh, my friends, this system is so broke. It is not a joke anymore. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are known to be connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Each and every show, as all of you know, we are so pleased to go inside the Beltway to get to the true skinny on what's happening in Washington, D.C. Victoria Jones from Talk Radio News joins us. And boy, there is a lot of different things happening. Certainly on the minds of most Americans, of course, is jobs and the economy and all of that. But Irene leaped over everything else, especially on the East Coast, talking about damages and flooding and all kinds of crazy things. Vermont, we have a lot of listeners there, practically underwater. In Connecticut, New Jersey, lots of problems with the flooding because of the rivers that are overflowing. So Victoria's at the White House, and of course the briefing today, Craig Fugate was there from FEMA. What did he have to say about Irene and the cleanup, and what kind of things did he tell you?
Well, I mean, he talked about he gave some sort of back and forth of how it was going forward and what they were doing. That was sort of, you know, just housekeeping. But he did say that he thought the death toll might go up through the recovery phase because people start to relax and they start to go out. And he gave us the start with condolences and prayers because of the 35. At that time, it was 35 dead. But he said, you know, people start to relax, and so they go out, and they don't realize that there's a flash flood, and they don't realize that the standing water is as deep as it is. They don't realize that, you know. And so he said this is the time when he thinks it's particularly dangerous. So he issued that warning first of all. That was the first thing that he said.
Yeah.
A couple of other interesting things. And he said he didn't like to give dollar estimates because you've still got to add the agricultural impacts and things like that. They're still assessing the damage. It's way too soon to know. And, you know, today is the anniversary of Katrina touching ground.
Right.
And he was asking questions about that. And so he gave credit to Congress for passing Katrina laws. And he said that you know, the big question had been, should we wait until the governors have exceeded all their resources or not wait? And he says, you know, the key is when you know a disaster could occur, not to wait? And he said the answer is not to wait. And he said that's the, and he was asked, what was the biggest difference between now and then? He said, you can't wait to know how bad it is before we get ready. He said, if we wait until we know how bad it is, it's harder to change the outcome. He said, because the first 72 hours are key. He said, that's what we've learned. So we'd rather go to a place, maybe take equipment that we don't need, and then be told we don't need the equipment, but get there and get the equipment there.
Yeah. And while he couldn't give you Victoria dollar amounts, we know it's going to be, you know, billions of dollars. We just don't know the exact billions.
Already know, yeah, we already know it's above 7 billion. We already know that.
Yeah. And what's scary is this has been the worst year ever. FEMA is getting cleaned out. So if you look specifically at disaster relief money, that's got to be running low. And I would think, and I'm sure there's some scuttlebutt over this with what's going on with all the budget stuff, that the Republicans are going to want budget cuts to probably somehow offset disaster aid. So I see a lot of storms brewing when everybody gets back after Labor Day. Do you see that scenario playing out?
Yeah, well, I mean, Eric Cantor had said, you know, back when the tornado obliterated the town of Joplin, Missouri earlier this year, House Majority Leader Eric Cantor told reporters that it would have to be offset by cutting spending. He said if there is support for a supplemental, it would be accompanied by support for having pay force to that supplemental, which is the language he used. But then last week he said when the earthquake struck the town of Mineral, Virginia, in his own district, he said Congress will find the monies, but those monies will be offset with appropriate savings or cost cutting elsewhere. That was last week. You know, I don't think that's changed.
No, I don't think that's changed either. Wow. I'll tell you what, it's going to be interesting to see what happens the rest of the way, because there's still people forget this, that there is some hurricane season left here. And who knows, of course, what happens in the next 2 or 3 months too as well. So I think they're going to be really wrestling over this issue, no doubt about it. Let's jump to the president and naming the economic advisors. Is it somebody that anybody listening to us would recognize, and what should they know?
It's Alan Krueger, who's a very distinguished professor of economics at Princeton. And he was an assistant treasury secretary of economic policy and chief economist from 2009-2010. He's a labor economist, considered a very, very distinguished, a lengthy career as a labor economist, age 50, been with Princeton since 1987. He's written extensively on any number of subjects, from the minimum wage to unemployment to tax breaks for big oil. He was involved with Cash for Clunkers. He's even written on the economics of rock music. Somebody who I know from who was at Princeton and who serves on Princeton's Center for Economic Policy Studies, Joseph Ficera, who's the CEO of a New York financial advisory firm, whose opinion I value on economic matters, says he's an excellent economist, mild-mannered, thoughtful, not combative, a great labor economist when jobs are finally becoming the priority for the administration. He said he's Princeton bred, as in the Bernanke mold of calm, intelligent, rigorous, and not political. He said, but Washington is in a political knife fight now.
Yeah, more like get the guns out. Are you kidding? More than a knife fight. It's crazy what's happened in Washington. That's why we always say we take you inside to get the skinny. And as you know this, because you're there in the bubble, you should see the reaction outside of the bubble, Victoria. I can't go anywhere with, and not having anything to do with being a talk show host, people who have no clue what I do for a living, everybody is just talking about what's going on in Washington.
Absolutely. Everybody is talking about what's going on in Washington, and with the president giving his big job speech next week, and we still don't know the date or time, although we tried to get that out of Jay Carney today, the timing, of course, of the nomination of Alan Krueger from Princeton is key, because this is an absolutely vital strategic time for a new chair of the Council of Economic Advisors, even though it's a position that can be be strong or it can be weak.
Weak, yeah.
The chairman makes a very interesting point, which is that Bush banished the CEA out of the old executive office building and down Pennsylvania Avenue. You know, and once when you're not in the main office and you're down the street, you don't have the same clout.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You know, speaking of jobs and waiting to hear what the president has to say and when that's going to pop up, the Republicans and jobs, there was something on the radar with that today in Washington.
Yes, indeed, they have a jobs agenda. Eric Cantor, the House Majority Leader, issued a memo today, 2,064 words, with 10 regulations. He contends are very harmful, most harmful, in fact, to job creation, and he's laid out a schedule when the lower chamber is going to take up their repeal, starting with the National Labor Relations Board. Mostly, it's the Environmental Protection Agency he's going after, also going after the health care law. Just going for the EPA, this is October and November, House is going to vote on a bill that would bar the EPA from regulating coal ash as hazardous waste. Then the House will tackle a bill that would block the EPA from regulating farm dust and repeal the EPA's pending reconsideration of the George W. Bush administration's 2008 ozone standard.
All right. So we move from that and see the ozone standard. Wow. We move from that. I love how you said, by the way, 265 words. Do they tell you that? 264 words, to be exact. All right. This was more than 264 words. Dick Cheney has a new book out, and he was touting it as something that was going to blow everybody's heads off in Washington. And I can imagine that that's creating some kind of gossip, or certainly people are Twittering about it and talking about it and whatnot. What are they saying in Washington?
They're saying quite a lot. This book's 565 pages. Written with his daughter, Liz. And there's a wonderful piece in the New York Times about it by Michiko Kakutani, which I would recommend. It says, in my time, Dick Cheney says, we'll have heads exploding all over Washington. Whatever readers think of Mr. Cheney's politics, their heads are more likely to explode from frustration than from any sense of revelation.
So obviously he doesn't tell very much. That's what Colin Powell said that when he was on some of the Sunday shows. He said that really it's a rehash of things that happened years ago.
That's exactly what this writer says. He also says that not only is it a rehash, but he cherry picks information much the way critics say the White House cherry picked intelligence in making the case to go to war against Iraq. Powell also got extremely ticked off yesterday on the Sunday shows, saying that many of the disclosures seem to be cheap shots that he's taking at me and other members of the administration who serve to the best of our ability for President Bush.
Ooh, that sums it all up. All right, so that was a good sell job, Victoria. I don't think people are going to run out and buy that right now that are just listening to that. How many pages did you say it was?
575.
Oh, that's
65.
That's too long. That's too long. That is just too long. We're too busy. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop.
Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA. But Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I file from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256 or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
Attention gardeners, this is an urgent GCN self-reliance update. GCN has just discovered a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's so effective at producing rapid plant growth that it seems to almost force plants to grow like crazy under practically any soil and light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of sea nutrients maximizes mineral uptake and dramatically increases bloom set, creating maximum plant growth in minimum time. ProtoGrow works by providing geometric keys, which have the capacity to actually unlock the genetic code for nutritional uptake in plants. ProtoGrow's full-spectrum plant fertility means fruits and vegetables with extraordinary taste and up to 10 times the nutritional value. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. GCN listeners, you want to grow dirt-cheap superfoods, should visit the ProtoGrow website at growlikecrazy.com. That's www.growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365.
There's nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung.
On the latest version of Where's Waldo, only insert Gaddafi. Where is this guy? I'm sorry, but it is bugging me. Where is this elusive Muammar Gaddafi? How do you lose a Gaddafi with that bad haircut and those crazy hats that he wears? So check this out. Here's the latest intel that the U.S. knows. His family went to Algeria. They know that the family left, but they don't know where he is. Now, I've actually seen, and some of you may have seen this too, some of the tunnels underneath Tripoli. So the wife and the three kids don't know if they ran like rats under the tunnels to get out. They might have, I don't know. But they are in Algeria. So you got to think, I mean, Gaddafi's grip on Libya is definitely at the fingertips, not even. But where is he? I mean, is this going to be another one of these situations where he's gone? And then are we spending money to find him? If let's say he's just, that's it, elusive, he's gone. He is like a mole. We can't find him. Do you think the U.S. should spend a whole bunch of loot trying to find him? I mean, NATO, which we are, wink, wink, 85% of. Should we continue to go on the chase for him? You know, the rebels are, because you got the bounty on his head, the 2 million bounty, right? So there's no, you know, in Washington, they're saying that they don't really know. They don't think that that's really true, that there's no indication that Gaddafi has left the country. Yes, with the family, okay, but not when it comes to him. Gaddafi's wife, by the way, Safia is her name, and then sons Hannibal and Mohammed, daughter Aisha, went across the border, not underground, but I guess over land, because they have shots of that somewhere. So the Algerians let the UN Security Council know that they were there, that that's what happened. But, you know, his kids were huge in the military and certainly in any economic partaking that family had. Hannibal, they say, was the maritime transport, head of the maritime transport company. Mohammed, the Olympic committee. Nepotism. Oh, it runs deep when you can make a lot of money. He wasn't stupid. He had his hands around all the gold there, and he let his family get a big chunk of it. And Aisha is a lawyer who helped defense-wise as far as toppling Saddam Hussein in that trial that led to his hanging. She was part of that. Now it's interesting because what happens with Muammar? What happens if he doesn't emerge somewhere? Supposedly, because there's all kinds of bogus news. If I go through some of the international papers that people send me, or little hits on things that they've learned and rumors that come across, whether it's some show on the BBC or something else. And supposedly, over the weekend, the rebels had reported that they had 6 armored Mercedes sedans that were carrying sons and top figures and all that kind of stuff across the border into Algeria. And then, of course, the foreign ministry there is denying that. And we know that they're saying they might have killed the one son over the weekend because there was a clash there, and they think the one son is dead. They're saying that. But here's the bottom line. Okay with the kids and all the way down the family tree, but where is Muammar Gaddafi? So, you know, here's my question, America. Since we've invested some bucks in this thing, if it's a question of continuing to find him because it's unknown, do we spend a cent doing this? Or just let the rebels run wild? Let them find him, because there's that price tag that's dangling out there. Somebody must know where he is. Somebody must know. And does he have any footholds or more on any of the towns in that country? Any place outside of Tripoli? Because certainly not in Tripoli he doesn't. Does he have any alliances there that are still going to fight or still taking him in? Or, you know, I don't know. I would have to assume the way things are going, the loyalists must be dropping. They must be retreating. They are retreating from Tripoli. They have to be. And especially now with this arbitrarily just shooting people in the streets over the past couple of weeks. And see, that's the thing. Gaddafi has to answer for that, or will answer for that. We know that. He's not going to get some kind of asylum. There's no way. And he's probably got friends. Money buys friends. Is this going to be a question of a dictator somehow slipping through everybody's fingers? 800-259-5791. Or do you care? We have flooding in this country. We have problems of how are we going to pay now for Irene. When you're operating on a shoestring budget, you know what? It's like, and all of you can relate to this. I mean, come on. You know, when you say, oh, I have no money. Oh, I got no money. I can't tell you any friends of mine. I don't care what they're doing for a living. They'll tell me, boy, I am just making it, you know, paycheck to paycheck. Of course, then they're going out to eat every other night. But then eventually it comes down to, okay, now I can't eat out every night. And now I can't eat out every other night. And now I can only eat out maybe once a week because I'm not taking in the money that I'm spending. And when we are operating on that kind of budget, which we are, when you have these catastrophic events and they add up to billions of dollars, well, who's paying for this? Where's this money coming from? So now we have this money that we need, this what's happened, you know, with the flooding and all the damages to the various states. And it's going to take probably weeks, let's be honest, because it moves like molasses with FEMA. I mean, there are jokes much longer than the time that I'm on this the airwaves here that we could tell about FEMA. But we know it's going to take them weeks to try to come up with a dollar figure on Irene, which is what Victoria said. Craig Fugate didn't want to touch that. It kind of makes sense because they don't know. Then they have to go deeper into some of the areas. So they're going to have to start putting money together for what do they need. All these bridges are done in Vermont. All this happened in North Carolina, whatever. Because remember the whole state of emergency thing and all of that. You think of Joplin, Missouri, and what happened there in May, that tornado. You think of Alabama and the money that was needed there and FEMA, what they had to pour into it. So now, with all of these disasters, where is this money coming from? And Missouri is saying, I mean, it's terrible. But even Roy Blunt, the senator, the Republican senator from Missouri, he said it right away. He said recovery from hurricane damage on the east can't come at the expense of Missouri's rebuilding efforts. And he said, look, if FEMA can't fulfill its promise to our state because we have other disasters, hey, that is unacceptable. We need to take a look at how our disaster response policies are funded and implemented. Oh, this is what they need in Washington. More committees. Committees after committees after committees to try to figure out how do we pay for all these catastrophes. Because you also, remember the whole Mississippi River thing? You had big floods in Mississippi, Nebraska, Tennessee, Kansas, Louisiana. Oh, I could go on. And Washington is almost at the end of its fiscal year, right? September 30th. So there's money that needs to be put in place. FEMA says that they're down to, does he love this? It's like I just picture in my head, there's just a giant vault somewhere. It says, FEMA. And in the giant vault, which you try to pry the money loose, they have $792 million. Let me say that number again. It's so easy with the numbers we're always talking about here on the show to get them wrong. But this is the right number. $792 million. So you know what they're going to need? This is probably going to happen. They're going to have some kind of a supplemental spending bill. That's what's going to have to happen. You know, what happens is you have X amount of money. We all know this. I mean, we learned this, right? We watched The Electric Company or Sesame Street. You have a certain amount of money and you have various departments and then you got to fund those departments. What happens when they run out? So, who's not going to get funded? They're going to have to slice things off. That's what's going to have to happen. So actually the slicing process will happen sooner rather than later because I don't see where this money's coming from. How are they going to cover these natural disasters? They're going to have to come up with some cockamamie crazy bill. And that's the supplemental bill. They're going to have to come up with something, right? How many multiple times have we seen this happen in the course of our history? Right? It has to happen. I mean, it has to happen at this point because what are they going to do with the money? Where are they going to find the money? You know, we're just going to have to having fundraisers. Your government's having a fundraiser this week. We're selling off history. It can be yours for XYZ. That to go through the archives and decide what can we afford to sell. Hey, we're taking phone calls next. Hang tight, everybody. Here on America Tonight.
Life Before the Collapse, vinyl LP by The Lost Vegas. Life Before the Collapse by The Lost Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Life Before the Collapse by The Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
America, we need money to help all these people that have had Mother Nature alter the course of their lives. So now, you know, isn't that figure, how many people go through their life, they're paying their taxes, they're good citizens, and they don't need a hand up, a handout, or anything, right? And then the time when you need somebody to help you is the time when you got the politicians saying, oh, wait a second. Don't take it away from our tornado damage. Hey, we had those rivers overflow way before you guys did. And I can see why that's going to start to be the conversation because of the number I just told you. So where's the money coming from? They're going to have to, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul, that whole scenario. Something like that. I'm just thinking that I'm going to be working until the day that I fall over. Anybody expecting what you paid into Social Security? I know it's just we always say this and then people poo-poo it. I talk to someone and they try to explain to me that, oh, no. Don't listen to that garbage. Don't listen to that. It's going to be there. There's no way. Unless somebody gets smart quickly and we get better economists in place I know we have bigger brains out there that can figure this out, right? We just need to put them in office. 800-259-5791. Ronnie in Utah, you get the first crack at this, my friend. Hello.
Thank you, Kate. Well, I got to ask you two things. Does ducks wear thongs, and does bird dogs fly in formation?
I like the bird dog reference. That's good.
Well, let me bring this up now. The old president, now you got to have hope. You're going to bring up the jobs package, you see. Cause he's going to go there to Libya and meet with old Gaddafi. They're going to sign the treaty. First thing they're going to do to stimulate our jobs and bring create some, we're going to have Gaddafi big bites. The second package is going to be the Muslim Brotherhood ding-dongs. I mean, you know, and to tie it all together, they're going to update the song that they used to sing back in the 70s, you know, your big bite is my big bite, your ding-a-ling is my ding-a-ling, your ding-dong is my ding-dong, you tell two friends, and so on and so on.
Yeah, I remember that song, yeah.
All kinds of hope.
Yeah,
now, where's the money going to come from for FEMA? Just to get on the serious side, okay. If you listen to the presidential candidate, Ron Paul, he's already told you explicitly from Chris Wallace through the Fox News, and you can listen to it on YouTube. He says that the FEMA insurance, as far as the flooding, is $20 billion in the hole. I mean, where are you going to get the money? Well, they're going to have to print it. We don't have the money. We're broke. That's simple to figure out. You don't need no economist to tell you that. We're broke.
Yeah, and then we're printing more of that funny money, which kills us all and deflates, continues to deflate the worth of our monetary system. So it's ridiculous. Quantitative easing my foot. It's a killer policy.
Why do you need a committee? You don't need no committee. You think, as stupid as I am, and I don't think I'm that intelligent, but as stupid as I am, I can figure that out. Why do I need a committee? You think that's funny? Wait till they get this super committee on trying to get these cuts together, and these Congress people really find out that they give them all the power unconstitutionally. They're going to sit there, scratch their heads. Well, what's my job? You know, I mean, these people are stupid.
Yeah, I agree. The super committee thing is just a waste of time. Ronnie, thanks for the call. I mean, committee, that's why I made the crack about the committees, because that's what they'll do. He's absolutely on the same page as I am. You'll have a committee. You're paying for that, essentially. We're paying for that because that's hours on the Hill that representatives are going over back and forth and forwards on what to do, whether it's, oh, geez, is the automatic trigger going to happen, or are we going to find ways to make these cuts? And so that, to me, that's wasting time, precious time that we don't have. And I'd rather see Congress work on something else. I mean, you know, let's call it what it is and just let the trigger fall, because they're not going to come up with a compromise there. So that's probably going to be 6-7 weeks wasted. And they're not going to be able to come up with, I think, anything that we're going to like other than, okay, we're coming up with another bill to fund emergency whatever. And really they're pulling money out of somewhere else. So just call it what it is and just say, we're going to rip off one fund to pay for the necessary money we need right now that we have to throw at the damage for Irene, because we don't have it. So we're just going to open up the presses and print up more money. I mean, they should just be honest about it, right? It's like the Joker when he took Gotham City by hold. Remember that? He was honest about what he was going to do. He's going to kill the Batman. So take a page from Hollywood and just tell us what you're going to do to us. Shelley in Michigan. Hello, Shelley.
Hi, Kate. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. You've been making me laugh. Actually, based on what you said, maybe they need to take a few lessons from the mafia and they could learn how to make some money. Because they know how to make funny money that actually works.
That's right. There you go. Counterfeit. Oh. Yeah.
Well, when you keep printing more money and devaluing the dollar, isn't that the same as counterfeiting?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They're counterfeiting, or they're counterfeiting the lives of future generations, and they're killing everybody. They're killing everybody else too in the in between. Because really, the word retirement, we should just not even have that in the dictionary. No one's going to be able to retire unless you are a blue blood, have inherited money, or you win the lottery, or you know, when you're going, when you and I, Shelley, are on the bus and we're going to yet the 10th casino, putting our pennies in, hoping that we hit the jackpot. That's it. Otherwise, we're all going to be working.
I don't plan on Social Security. I've never planned on it.
It's nope.
Like, older people that I know are getting it, but I don't think I'll ever see it.
No. I agree.
I mean, $702 million is what's in the FEMA fund, and it's, what, $5 billion worth of damage so far with the,
yep,
the current hurricane. And we're not counting North Dakota and the flooding and
nope.
Missouri and all the other stuff that happened. And Michigan's still arguing. I don't know if you remember the oil spill that happened in Kalamazoo County.
Yes.
That's still being negotiated. And it could take another 10 years before the cleanup's done because it was that bad.
Mm.
And EPA is on top of it, supposedly. But there are people that have seriously lost their homes. They've had to sell. They can't drink their water. Everything's contaminated. Nobody's covered it since. But it's bad.
Yeah, I heard it's bad, yeah. Thanks for that update, by the way. I heard it's really bad. Oh, wow. So as Shelley said, you know, she gave you some prime examples, and let alone Kalamazoo, where many people are listening to America tonight. So you just keep on adding up the catastrophes, and we definitely don't have the money flat out from that fund to funnel that to the places where they need it. So that means there's going to be some kind of a bill to add the money in. And we know exactly where this is headed. And the infrastructures of so many places are going to change. They're going to be reshaped because of these historic floods. You know, all of this is part of the cleanup process. I mentioned that there were so many bridges that were down. There were so many roads that were closed off. And what happens when that happens and it's a main artery, of course, you have to fix it. You can't just say, well, we can't fix it. No. You have to fix it. Really. So from North Carolina to Maine, you look at the areas, you're going to see all kinds of pockets. So, you know, we've covered broad strokes some of the bigger areas, Vermont, absolutely. And, you know, now we see, as was warned, the death toll is climbing. Now they're saying that we've probably passed 40 or 44 people dead as a result of Irene that turned into a tropical storm. But with all of this flooding and torrential rains and the disruption too, by the way, thousands of flights were canceled, people were stranded, all kinds of things happened to businesses. So somehow there's going to have to be a funnel that diverts the money. Really what they should do is you just have a ceremony. The governors line up outside of the closest mint and they just hand them the stacks of money. Here's the money. You win. Here's the money because we had to print it up. What are we going to do? And they drive away in an armored car and go back to their individual states because FEMA's going to have to take the money from somewhere, right? If you have any great solutions, please send them to me, americatonight.net.